How do you do?
Come with us now to consider some strange and dramatic events that took place in a Middle Eastern town a long time ago. Because of the central event, it is possible even today for a person's heart and mind and life to be unshackled. From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission brings you Unshackled, last of the old-time radio dramas and first of the new. The old lighthouse in Chicago is now into its second century of helping the men and women of the street. Help means food, clothing, lodging, medical and dental care, and counsel given by people who are concerned for the total person, spiritual needs as well as material ones. All the help of every sort is given free. These programs have been dramatizing the true stories of real people since 1950. They're now heard in almost every nation on earth. The continuing growth and outreach have come to be as some listening have made it their business to help make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. How's this for a good way to start a controversy? Resolved that we would all be better off if no one observed Christmas. The first to rise up in protest are likely to be the people who sell toiletries for men, the alcoholic beverage industry, Christmas tree growers, and toy manufacturers. All right. If we need a colorful pagan holiday to brighten the shortest days of the year, the festivities centering around December 25th will do. But the reasons for considering it a Christian occasion are few indeed. Jesus was almost certainly not born on December 25th. During the first three centuries of the church, times of rapid growth in the face of persecution, Christmas was unknown. We find the greatest virtue connected with Christmas to be this: that it provides an opportunity to tell the world about Jesus and about what really did take place at Bethlehem. With that in mind, and because of the season, we bring you a story that is closely interlaced with the remarkable events that really did take place. Listen then to the drama we're calling God With Us, as we bring it to you now on Unshackled. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There have been many little stories concocted having to do with the keeper of that inn. Since nothing is known about him, anything is possible. We do, however, know a number of things about the events that took place at his doorstep, so to speak. To help us put those into perspective, let's give the innkeeper the name of Heber, and let his wife be Hannah. His son is Joel, and the son's wife is Sarah. And through the eyes of these people, we may discover some seldom noticed facts about the events at Bethlehem.
Joel, where's that wife of yours?
She took food to those people.
What people? The town's overrun with people. They're camped out in the fields, they sleep in the doorways, they cook their meals on the roadside. This taxation of Caesar's will be the ruination of the town.
Well, it must be going on in every other town in Judea.
Yeah, I suppose.
And it does make innkeeping a prosperous business.
That I can't deny. Who are these people Sarah carried food to?
Oh, they're from somewhere in Galilee. You can tell by their accent.
I remember them now. Now, the woman is very young. The man is considerably older, and she's very close to her time. Well, I'm glad you brought back the empty bowl, Sarah. Did those people pay you for their food?
They insisted on it. Here.
Yeah, that's a good girl.
Those people are troubled.
Everyone in Bethlehem is troubled just now.
Oh, but not everyone in Bethlehem is expecting to give birth.
When do they think it will happen?
Tonight, the woman said.
Tonight? Well, she certainly can't have it under some tree or in an open field.
That's what they're troubled about.
There comes a time when we women have to take care of one another's best interests. Heber? Heber!
Coming, coming.
Oh, that man. Discussing the writings of the prophets and the Holy Scriptures. With all these strangers in town, he has a wealth of conversational victims.
I came as quickly as I could, Anna. But I didn't want to be rude to that man.
No.
He's remarkably well-versed in the Scriptures.
Oh.
Not as well as I, perhaps, in the prophets. But in the Torah, his knowledge equals mine. And in the writings, he may even be just a little bit superior.
It's very good of you to admit it, Heber. Now, let's discuss something a little more present and pressing.
All right.
Sarah tells me a woman is going to give birth. Now, probably tonight, and has no shelter of any kind.
Oh, that is not good.
No.
But are you sure? Sarah, how do you know the time is so near?
Oh, my own firstborn is now less than a year old. I have some knowledge of these things.
Heber, this woman must be given shelter.
But where? Joel.
Yes, Father.
We have no available room, have we?
Oh, nothing.
Then think of something. You are the strong ones and the clever ones. Now think of how we can give this woman shelter.
Possibly. What about the stable?
The stable?
Oh, you can do better than that.
How? How? The whole town of Bethlehem overflows with people.
Besides, the stable's a very good shelter. Warm, dry. And since it's hewn from the solid rock, quiet.
And Joel can clean out one of the stalls and put in fresh straw.
Well, if that's the best we can do, all right.
I'll go and get them now. Oh, they have a beast, a donkey.
Bring it along. If you don't, someone will steal it.
So, the child is a boy. Very good. Did all go well?
I'd say it went perfectly.
Where is the child now?
In the manger. Makes a very good crib. Now what?
Sounds to me like some sort of a crowd.
With dogs?
Joel, go outside and see what all the excitement is about.
And don't stand out there wasting time in idle talk. Come back in and tell us what's going on.
Well, who's out there?
A number of shepherds. They're very much excited.
Excited about what?
About the child in the stable.
About the... Oh, that's not possible. We four know about the baby, and we haven't told anyone. The child's parents know, and they certainly haven't told anyone.
Oh, that's true. Joel, who did tell these shepherds?
You won't believe me when I tell you. I didn't believe them. I'm still not sure I believe them.
Oh, stop being mysterious, Joel.
What did they tell you, son?
They say that an angel told them.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to the other, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
I don't know.
Come on, those men weren't lying. There was no way they could have known.
Unless the angel told them.
That's right, Sarah. And they were terribly serious. Shepherds can be rough men, but they were completely awed.
Worshipful.
Yes, that's the word. Worshipful.
Heber.
Yes?
You're the one who studies the scriptures. Now, what about this?
I can't believe. I just can't believe that the newborn infant lying in a manger in our stable is Messiah.
Father, what do the scriptures say about Messiah?
Well, of course, it's true that he would come from this town, from Bethlehem.
How do you know that, Heber?
It is stated very clearly in the writings of the prophet Micah.
And what does it say?
But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, which art little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from ancient days.
Then, if Messiah is indeed born of woman, it would be here, in this city?
Certainly, certainly. All those who study the Word of God know this. And there is a remarkable saying in the book of Isaiah. It says that Messiah will be born of a virgin.
Heber, please. Now, what does it really say?
Just this. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
God with us.
Yes, yes, yes.
But a virgin, that seems laughable.
Oh, does it? Does it? Sarah laughed too, you know. She was 90 and Abraham 100. And the Lord said, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now tell me, did Sarah have a son?
Yes, Heber. That son was Isaac.
Then is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No, I agree. This, too, is possible.
There's another question on my mind, Father.
Yes, yes.
It's a question of timing. Is there any place in the books of the prophets that tells us when Messiah will come?
Yes, Joel, yes.
What does it say?
It is in the book of Daniel. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks.
I don't understand.
Artaxerxes issued such an order sometime close to 450 years ago. Taking a week of years as 7 years, the time for Messiah is just about now.
Then this child in our stable really could be Messiah, the prince?
Could be, yes. But I don't know. All I know is that all things are possible with God.
Well, how much prophecy do we need? Born in Bethlehem, announced to the shepherds by angels. The time is apparently about right. I say this is Messiah.
In a moment, we'll continue with this strange story of something that happened a long time ago in Bethlehem. First, though, let's have a conversation with Superintendent Harry Saulnier of Pacific Garden Mission. Harry, thousands of people with the responsibility for creating programs for their church and Sunday school groups face a new year in which they'll be expected to develop programs that are new and are better than ever. What can you suggest?
Several things that have been very effective for others. One, and this is best, of course, for those who are within a reasonable distance of Chicago, is a visit to the old lighthouse. We recommend Saturday as the best day, just because of our Saturday program of activities, which includes an unshackled production session.
All right, a visit to Unshackled is one. What else do you suggest?
We can also send to points a considerable distance from Chicago a deputation group, including a speaker and several Pacific Guard mission converts who are there to tell what the Lord has done for them.
So if people can't arrange to visit us at Pacific Garden Mission, perhaps we can arrange to visit them wherever they are. Harry, what other things do you have to suggest?
One of the best program features we know is the new motion picture produced by Pacific Guard Mission. The title is Miracle on State Street. This film in sound and color runs not quite 30 minutes and has already demonstrated that it can hold an audience and that an invitation following it is very likely to lead to decisions to trust in Christ.
All right, then, for information about any of these program possibilities, a visit to Pacific Garden Mission, a visit by Pacific Garden Mission's people to you, or the film Miracle on State Street, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
Sarah, you went to Jerusalem with them to help with the baby. Did all go well?
Yes, Mother, but something very strange happened.
Oh?
There was an old man at the temple. His name, Simeon, and he told us that the Holy Spirit had promised him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Anointed One.
How strange. Is this man, this Simeon, altogether sane?
Oh, we were told that he's a very just and devout man. You see, we wondered about him because of what he did.
And what was that?
He took the child up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Mine eyes have seen thine salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Then a woman came up, a very old woman named Anna, and she's a prophetess who stays in the temple in prayer day and night.
And what about this Anna?
She gave thanks to the Lord for the child, and spoke to everyone around about the redemption in Jerusalem.
You should see what's come to our city now.
Oh, close the door, Heber. Now, what's all the excitement about?
Men from someplace far to the east.
What sort of men?
Stargazers, they say. And by the richness of their clothing and the quality of their animals, they are very rich. They look like kings.
Oh, and what brings them here?
The child, Hannah. The child that was laid first in the manger in our stable.
How did they know to come here to Bethlehem?
That's the strange thing. Oh. They say they have followed a star. When they reached Jerusalem, they went to the court of Herod and asked, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him."
And?
Herod asked the scribes where the Messiah should be born, and they said it would be here in Bethlehem. So the men from the east came here, and Hannah.
Yes.
This is strangest of all. The star now stands over this place.
And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Why do you suppose those men chose to avoid Herod?
I think it was for the same reason that Joseph and Mary and the child are now preparing to leave this place.
They're leaving us?
Tonight.
To return to Galilee?
No. This man, Joseph, seems to have had a dream in which an angel told him to take his family into Egypt. We may never see these people again.
The angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son.
It seems now as though it was some kind of a dream. All those strange people, the towns overcrowded, the shepherds coming down from the hills.
And the strangest of all, those two quiet, God-fearing people and their child.
I wonder, did they reach a safe place?
Well, if that child really is Messiah, then surely he will be protected by the angels of God. Such a gift will surely not be wasted.
You speak of a gift. Why?
I'm thinking of something written of him by Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
All right. A child is a good thing. Most people think a son is best.
But this is not simply a child, Hannah.
Oh?
This is Emmanuel, God with us. This is Yeshua, who will lead us at last into restoration of Israel, as Joshua led our ancestors over Jordan. Do you know what Isaiah says about this Messiah? Mm-hmm. Listen to powerful language. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Bloodshed was to mark the end of the Son's first advent as a suffering servant. Blood also marked its beginning. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men.
Why, my child? Why should the children of our city die and the one in Egypt be saved?
I can think of two things. One is in the prophetic words of Jeremiah. He wrote, Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not.
And the one who is taken to Egypt.
Well, Heber, is there any answer?
There is one, and I find it in the book of Isaiah. If that child is indeed God's anointed one, then there lies before him a most terrible suffering and death.
And what does this saying in the book of Isaiah tell us?
He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
The story of the Babe of Bethlehem is tender and touching. But let's not let it end there. For this was God with us, come in a human body to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to pay in blood the price of our redemption. Because of him we are offered life, that more abundantly, life eternal. To counsel with someone who is concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in Europe, you may address Unshackled in care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. In the Philippines, address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467 Manila. We hope you'll write and let us know that you listen to Unshackled, and as you listen, we also hope that you're asking others to listen with you, because that's the way the good news reaches new people. Heard in this special story for the season were Mickey Hurd, Mary Staver, Harry Elders, and Harry Epstein. Original music, Lucille Becker. This is Jack O'Dell, and I've written the story for the occasion. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show that if your life is empty, it really can be filled to overflowing. Write to us this week. We appreciate your encouragement, and if you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462.